My name is Pete Edgerton from the local radio station that is Your Harrogate, and we are here with episode number 3 of the Saxton Partners podcast. I'm the main lady once again, Sonia Saxton. Sonia, this episode focusing on switching ourselves back on, that motivation when, how do you describe them? The bugs in our brain are distracting us.
So, motivations. Hello, everyone. Motivations really get you out of bed in the morning. And there are things that switch you off as well. Those little bugs. Those little bugs are beliefs that something can't happen. So let's start at the beginning. Where did you get your motivations from? It's not like they do them down at the supermarket. No, your motivations come from your value systems. So what are value systems? Well, when you are growing up until about the age of 7, it's already beginning to establish what you value. And where does that come from? Well, it comes from whoever's caring for you. They might instill in you that, for example, it's really important to be kind to people. And it's really important to win, and so on. So these values are all around you, and you're absorbing them. So whoever you spent the most time with, they are usually the influencer, depending who is strongest in terms of their impact. It might be that you spent a lot of time at school, for example, at boarding school. And there may be someone there that really influenced you. And their values will come through in what you do. So, if your values, your motivations, are installed by the age of 7, what happens after that? Well, you start testing them out, don't you? Does it really work? Being good to people, for example, being a winner, being somebody who is an achiever in life, being somebody who really values religion and so on. So you test it out up until about the age of 14. And then you start to rebel, don't you? I mean, parents out there, you know what I mean, don't you? Yeah. All those tantrums, arguing the point, because they are establishing what are their values. Do they want your values anymore? They want to be who they are. They are establishing their identity. And once they've done that, up until many, many years, they're testing it out. They use those values. And sometimes it really works. And other times it doesn't. So, for example, they get into the workplace and they've been brought up to be an achiever and go places. And they meet somebody who really values nature and relationships and other things. And you wonder what's going on. Is it them or is it me? I mean, you know what's important, don't you? Why aren't they the same as you? Well, it's difference that makes the world go round. I mean, if we were all the same, imagine you had all of the team at work, all with the same values. And in fact, in some cases, employers, when they're interviewing, if they're not very aware, they'll interview someone who's like them. And you might think, well, what's wrong with that? Well, the thing is, customers, they have very different values, don't they? So what's important to customers can be very, very different. And if you don't have a mixture, then are you going to meet your customer needs? Something to think about. So that motivation that gets you out of bed in the morning, it's worth thinking about whether those motivations are as important to others as they are to you. And you might think, well, what do you do about that if people are very different to you? I mean, you've grown up with these values and you like who you are. It's about flexibility. I know. It can be a so-and-so, can't it, having to be flexible. The thing is, though, if you are flexible, then you could start to learn something, yeah. Actually, them being the opposite to you could be a really, really good thing. I remember, you know, when I was working with this board, they said, we're not communicating, Sonia. We need to get together and iron it out. I don't know why we don't get on. And I said, well, it's important to start with the facts, of course. Oh, yes, let's start with the facts. So we did some profiling using CORE. And CORE, you think, what the devil's that? Is it something to do with apples? No, it's getting to the core of you. It's the CORE tool that you can actually find on Saxton Partners' website. So getting back to the story, we profiled them. And what we discovered was that, there was two that were really driven and very much into power and wanting to hold court. There were three of them were very much about us being a community and us talking to each other. There were, probably three of them were very much into what's the big picture? Where are we going? What does the future look like? Now, you can imagine what it was like when these lot got together. They were all valuing something different and they weren't listening to the others that were not like them. And we had chaos. And they said, well, now that we know this, Sonia, what are we supposed to do about it? I said, you need to listen and observe. That's why we have two ears and one mouth. We need to really tune into what's going on for other people. And it was a fun exercise, you know. I got them to step inside being somebody else. So the ones that were into power were now being very much about the team and community. And the others were stepping into others' shoes. And they said it felt very strange, Sonia. Very strange. And yet, you know, I'm starting to understand what it's like being that other person with me. We're very different, aren't we, Sonia? I said, yes, and celebrate. Celebrate, yes, celebrate. Because all your customers out there that are putting food on the table and a roof over your head, they're all different. And just, I want you to have imagined for a moment that when somebody rings in, when you meet a new customer, instead of you thinking, oh, well, you know, I know what's important, use those two ears. Really listen, observe when they react positively to what you're saying or whether they look like they're backing off already. So motivation's a very important thing, and something else that's really important. They don't tend to change your values once they're established, unless you have a significant emotional experience like death, birth, maybe even when you get married. Your values, if you have a significant emotional experience, they can change. Because they're context dependent, there's this fancy thing called spiral dynamics. If you imagine a pendulum swinging one way and then the other. So maybe you start off being very driven and you really want to go for it and everybody's different. And then you have a baby. And it's much more about the community. So you swing to more about the world and the place in which you live. And you might even start to think about, you know, what religion do you want your child to be? So it's like a pendulum. is context dependent. So just because you're communitarian, very much into community in one thing and very much into prosperity another, your core values tend to stay the same. But what happens if you've been conditioned? You think, what's that mean? Well, being conditioned is where you get into a role, and maybe some of you will be familiar with this. You get into a role and you're told you have to value certain things because whoever's paying you wages wants you to be, for example, driven. And you are driven, just in a different way. But they keep pushing. And they want you, for example, to be very much about the big picture and looking to the future. And you want to be creative and in the moment. Eventually you give in. Yeah. And you become this person, this conditioned person. You're a round peg in a square hole, and it can be a bit uncomfortable, that. I'll never forget working with a gynaecologist in the NHS. And she told me that she was going to end up on the outside, on the streets, if she didn't sort this business out about not being able to relate to patients. And I said, I can understand why that would be a challenge. She said, but I'm very well qualified, Sonia. My mother is a psychologist. My father is a surgeon. And we were brought up to be well qualified. And I am exceptionally qualified. And we didn't really do the people thing. So I said, what was that like? Well, I'm extremely bright. You haven't answered my question though. What was it like? Well, it was a bit regimental in some ways, but we've all done very well. But relationships, not your thing? Well, no. No, to be honest, I mean, you know, when patients come in and they want all that business about how are you, how's it going, all that, I just want to get them on the table and have a look at the bits. I want to see how things are going. I don't want to have all that small talk. I've never been able to do small talk, you see. So that brings us to that other thing I mentioned, bugs. So what are bugs? Bugs are belief patterns that switch you on or off. And this lady had two things going on, which were temporarily a challenge. And they were resolved, by the way. One, she'd been conditioned to purely value qualifications. And two, she didn't believe there was a way out. Bugs. Bugs contaminate belief patterns that you can't do something. There are also fantastic positive beliefs that tell you you can do all sorts of things. Believing in yourself, believing where you're going, believing anything's possible, for example. This lady didn't believe she could. I did a core profile and discovered that there's quite a lot of things going on there. So, for example, she's very anxious about unknowns. She did something I call awfulizing. She thought about what could go wrong, what might go wrong, what may go wrong. Technically, of course, she wasn't really interested in the people side of it. So what did this mean for her? Well, she was anxious. She was also, interestingly, very needy. She wanted people to tell her that they really appreciated her and valued what she did. and they really believed in her. And you know, don't you, why that happened? She hadn't been getting it from elsewhere, had she? And that's what happens with beliefs. When you're growing up with an environment where for some reason you don't feel valued, then there's always that thing in the back of your mind, am I actually of value to other people? And you can end up carrying it into work where you look to your boss, first of all, maybe. Do they appreciate me? And you get a bit upset if they don't tell you how much they appreciate you. It's a bit wearing, though, you know, telling you every day. And there's also this business of being a bit anxious, thinking something could go wrong, may go wrong, might go wrong. And lots of other patterns. There are about 12 patterns you'll find on there that could temporarily be contaminating who you really are, because who you are at your best is usually pretty awesome. And understanding more about what's temporarily switching you off from your core motivations, your real motivations, can be pretty useful. It's a bit like going into your loft with the light switched off. It's easy to trip over those things. And yet when you switch the light on them and you can see what's there, those beliefs that are temporarily getting in the way, maybe you could bypass them. Maybe you could release them. Have you ever cleared out your loft and noticed how satisfying it feels when you've got all that space to do the things you want to do? Well, the mind's like that. You know, your brain uses 20% of your energy. If that's your budget, what are you spending your budget on? Are you actually giving it away, putting it down the drain with some temporary books? Or are you now saying, I am going to stand back, look at those books and say, which ones am I going to let go of first? Now, I know you're saying it's easier said than done, Sonia. Where do I start? Well, there's an interesting trick. Yes, that'll help you on your way. Let's do a little exercise together. Are you ready? So get yourself comfy. That's right. And close your eyes, just to cut off distraction. And lift your chin slightly so that you can aid the visualization part of your brain. You're doing great. And now I want you to have recalled a memory where something wasn't going very well. And you're having those feelings, seeing it wasn't working. Them not tuning in the way you want them to tune in. Yeah, you know. Take yourself there. Notice. Are you actually seeing, hearing the person in front of you? Or are you seeing yourself from the outside? Notice how that feels. What would you score it out of 10 for being the real you? Is it a 10? And that's who you really are without those bugs, those little gremlins. Or is it a bit lower? Because now what I want you to do, keeping your eyes closed, no peeking, I want you to have imagined you've seen yourself through the window of the building. And now you're this amazing coach. Because I know you've got it in you. And you've got an earpiece to the you that's in there. But this time, as you see yourself through the window, I want you to coach yourself on, first of all, number one, what are the facts? what are the facts of this situation? If you were standing up in a court of law, could you say what the actual facts are? And then number two, what's your body language doing? Is it a little bit not helping? Maybe open up your body so that you're looking more open for the other person. Remember what I said, difference is a good thing. And you're listening, remember those two lugs and eyes, observing and listening to what's going on. So, change your body language, change your tone. And then finally, I want you to rerun it. You're the director of your own movie now. Rerun that movie of you doing it differently. Stay outside the window. And as you look through the window and see you doing it differently now, what's that like? Have you made some improvements? Because you've got it in you to do it, because you are the coach after all. And what score would it be now? Is it creeping higher to a score you want? And I want you to notice something else, and test this, don't believe me. When do you feel more in control of doing something about what's going on for you? Is it looking out of your own eyes or seeing yourself from the outside through the window? Just check that for me. What are you noticing? You can open your eyes now. You might wonder, what is it about when you see yourself through the glass? Why does it protect you? Why is it more doable from outside? Well, here's the thing. It happens every day of your life. When you see somebody, for example, in the post office, you go to the bank, you see somebody on the other side of the glass, there's a sense of them being protected, isn't there? Because they're on the other side of the glass. And even going back many, many years ago, when they just had a piece of ordinary glass, not the super stuff they've got now, they still felt a sense of protection. And indeed, you know, when you go to a jumble sale and there's somebody sat behind a rickety old desk, it's the fact that there's a separation between you and them. However, I want you to imagine now that for some reason they've got their own booth, glass booth, and they're taking your money. You've been there, haven't you? Maybe at the fair you've gone to a glass booth and handed over your money through the little hole, and they feel really protected in there because they're behind glass. What the brain does is, when you bypass something, it's got a fancy name, limbic system, the emotional part of the brain, and you see yourself through the window, it actually makes you feel a lot more in control. Yeah. Well, you can do things. And if you decided after this, and of course you know best, if you decided that from now on, whenever you started to, you know, have those thoughts and feelings that are not working for you, you'd step out. I always say you need to get out more. Mentally, of course. See yourself through the window and practice it. Yeah, it takes a bit of skill to do it, from doing it with your eyes closed to doing it with your eyes open yet defocused. And yet I can tell you, when you've done that between 7 to 21 times, in each context, in each type of situation, you'll find you've got a new skill. How do I know that? Well, when you were learning to drive, ride a bike, do something new, I can tell you that you only did it without thinking when you'd done it between 7 to 21 times. Because the brain then has a pathway, you see. It knows how you do that. I know when you jumped in your car last, you didn't go through a process, did you? I bet you just drove, didn't you? Yeah. Because the pathway's there. You've done it between 7 to 21 times successfully. And your brain says, oh, we know this now. We don't need to go through the process. So you can do the same with those little gremlins, those little bugs that you want to get rid of out of your loft. Mentally, of course. So you can make more space for being who you really are. Because who you really are is pretty special.
I love that. That is incredibly thought-provoking. Really, really nice. So thank you so much, Sonia. I love the idea of getting into the loft, turning the light on, sorting things out. My word, I dread to think what's in that loft of mine. Fourth episode, just around the corner. Mm. So off the back of discussing this and motivation and sorting those bugs out and getting on the loft, what are we going to be discussing?
So next time, the big question is, are you contaminating your children? You might think, whoa. Very interesting subject, guys. Learning more about what each of us do unwittingly to create patterns in our children.
I'm looking forward to this because this is going to be very useful, given that we've got a 5-year-old going on 15-year-old. So it could be quite useful on a personal level. Sonia, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm looking forward to next time already.
We will see you for episode number 4 of the Saxton Partners podcast.